In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we hear more about John the Baptist's unique relationship with Jesus, and layered onto that, we enter into the beginning of the special relationships into which Jesus starts to call his disciples, one by one. Today's gospel actually starts out on a note of confusion, however. We hear the muddled testimony of John the Baptist. Twice, John says, "I myself did not know him. I myself did not know Jesus." And this is a little odd, because according to Luke, John and Jesus are relatives, and both births are announced by angelic appearances to the respective parents. So John could mean, "I knew Jesus, but I didn't realize who he was when we were growing up together." God can indeed be working under our noses in our lives through people that we talk to, and we can be oblivious. Or perhaps John and Jesus have led such separate early lives that John literally didn't know Jesus at all as they were growing up and into their early adulthood. Remember, at this time, Jesus is reckoned to be about 30 years old. Either way, the first epiphany in today's gospel, in this season of Epiphany, is John the Baptist's revelation. To himself, first of all, this is the Messiah. John has been preparing the way for someone he didn't know or fully recognize until now. But as soon as John recognizes who Jesus is, there are consequences. Things change when we recognize Jesus for who he is. And for John, immediately his disciples turn from following John, and start to follow Jesus. One is Andrew, and then Andrew's brother, Simon Peter. So John is really losing two heavy hitters from his own team of disciples. A little later, two chapters later, John the Baptist says in John's gospel, "He, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. He must increase and I must decrease." The baton is passing from John the Baptist, but it was never his to hold on to. John realizes that this change is not something to fight, but to embrace. And he models, I think, for all of us, that it is never about us. It is about God in Jesus. God can work through us, but God in Jesus is the point. And Jesus himself today stands poised at the very beginning of his public ministry. It takes Jesus 30 years to call his first co-workers. These people will become the nucleus of Jesus' alternative family, his family of choice. This is a critical part of his early ministry, his early public ministry, right after his baptism. And it's not clear why Jesus chooses the people that he does. How does he select them? To be honest, I think Jesus calls those who will come, anyone. I think Jesus issued then and issues now a lot of invitations to people who don't respond, who turn away. And we don't, of course, hear much about those in Scripture. We hear some, like the rich young ruler who turns back from following, but I don't think we hear all of those stories. And I actually have this image of Jesus walking along and stopping at every little fishing boat where people are mending their nets, stopping at every pop-up shop in the market square and asking, "Will you join me?" Until at last, a yes. So apologies to anyone who thinks the disciples are a different species of human from us mere mortals. Clearly, it's not comparative or about qualifications or resumes or any of the world's ways of sifting the most qualified candidates. Jesus is only looking for a willingness. Jesus' invitation is to walk with him, to discover what the fullness of humanity looks like as we watch and as we follow. Being human is an extraordinary state of being. And Jesus calls every last ordinary / extraordinary one of us. We use the word disciple to signify one who has been called and who has said yes. But really, the disciples are Jesus' friends. They travel together, work together, live together. When Jesus comes out later in John's gospel and says it plainly, we know it's true. It's always been true. I call you servants no longer, because a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, says Jesus. I have called you friends, says the Jesus of John's gospel. And this is amazing. It's distinctive to John's gospel. Friendship is a category of love in the ancient world. There are many words for love in Greek. Now, of course, Jesus spoke Aramaic, but as the gospel communities began to write down the story of his life, they carefully selected the Greek words that would carry and convey best the nuance of Jesus' teaching as they understood it. And there's this abundance of subtlety in Greek words for love. When we say friend in English, the Greek for that would usually be storge, friendship. That's one kind of love. And then there's also romantic love, of course, eros. And there's also agape love, Jesus' self-offering in bread and wine on the cross. And there's also one other kind, phileo, brotherly, sisterly, family, belovedness. And that is the word Jesus uses here. Not storge, not regular old friendship. Jesus says, I have called you brothers and sisters. He deepens what has begun in the relationships he's beginning to build with Andrew and Simon Peter. I have called you friends, beloved. When we understand friends to mean brothers and sisters of choice, that adds a whole new depth to Jesus' relationship with his friends and disciples. Even in times of disagreement and estrangement, our brothers and sisters, our siblings, remain our siblings. So Jesus is offering his friends in John's gospel an unshakable and permanent love. John's gospel actually offers us a whole vision of what we call discipleship, that is friendship with God through Jesus, belovedness in Jesus' community. When we hear the words friendship with Jesus, we may think of it as a somewhat facile, Jesus is my buddy who will find me a parking space kind of a theology, who has a personal plan for my life. And if that is how people experience their relationship with Jesus, that's fine. It's not my place to judge that. But I think there's another deeper, richer, more mature theology of friendship with God in Christ that John's gospel alone points us to among the gospels. John's distinctive understanding of Jesus' profound commitment to his friends finds deeper and deeper fruition as the gospel unfolds. Jesus, at the Last Supper, washing the feet of his beloved. Jesus, the night before he dies, at the Last Supper, praying for the church, for the people around the table, and all those of us who will come after. Jesus includes his friends in his own priesthood through the future church's life. When Jesus prays to the Father, make these friends of mine one, as we are one, so that their love for each other can be a sign to the whole world that Jesus and God are one. Jesus' friendship manifests in the relationship of the disciples to each other and is itself a part of the gospel. A sign of the kingdom come near, a miracle of love pointing beyond itself to God. In seminary, we sometimes asked each other, what is your favorite gospel? That's the kind of conversation that seminarians can have over dinner in the refectory. And to us, it was actually a sort of a quiz show and tell pastime. But we took that question seriously, and for some of my friends, their favorite gospel would change as they learned more and grew in their own spiritual lives. For many of my friends, it was Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but for me, my favorite gospel was always John. And my friends quite rightly said, oh, but John's Jesus is so remote, he's barely flesh and blood. He barely touches the ground when he walks. The Christology, the evidence of his divinity, is so front and center all the time. And besides, his gospel was written down so late that how could it be as accurate as, say, Mark, written down much earlier? And it's true that in John's gospel, Jesus' divinity is so clear. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. These divine I am revelations. John's Jesus does seem to know a lot ahead of time. But in other ways, even though the Christology is so high and Jesus is so clearly divine as well as human, in other ways, John's is the most intimate of all the Gospels. The humanity is so profound. The way to divinity is through humanity and through human relationships that Jesus creates, not around it. For Jesus and for us, the way to divinity is through humanity and not around it. Come and see is an invitation from one friend to another. As we accept Jesus' invitation, we are drawn into deeper and deeper friendship with him. Jesus becomes fully human, fully present to us in our own lives, and we grow in our humanity too. For me, John's Jesus always sounded a bit like a divine Mr. Rogers. Not, won't you be my neighbor, but won't you be my friend, my beloved? I have called you friends. What this boils down to is that discipleship is friendship with Jesus, nothing more and nothing less. And even more incredibly, Jesus desires our friendship. That depth of relationship with us where we fully offer ourselves and all that we are, the parts that we like, the parts that we don't like, to him, in companionship with him. The disciples' journey into friendship with Jesus is the difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. It makes all the difference. Jesus is eager to know us. The disciples' journey into friendship is our journey too. And as with those first disciples, all Jesus is looking for initially is a yes. Yes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.